party with me?
No, the game's on.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl.
Do you like sports and don't care who knows? Then CITR Sports needs you. If you like sports, are into radio, or generally just want to have a great time, then come join us. Email our sports coordinator at sports101@citr.ca to find out more, or come by the station in the new sub. See you soon.
Watch, because I'm the man.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense. Detroit, early 1950s. The erstwhile arsenal of democracy had switched back to a civilian footing. It had also emerged as the nation's fourth largest city, with a total population of nearly 2 million. Its three major sports teams had won a combined 5 championships in as many years, and its median income was the highest of any major city in America. Detroit was also renowned for 2 other very disparate reasons. It was an established music center with a jazz scene that regularly attracted the likes of Duke Ellington and Ella Fitzgerald. It was also the home of the Detroit Partnership, one of the largest branches of the infamous Cosa Nostra, the American Mafia. And when those two worlds met, the results were seldom happy.
Evening, Abner.
Evening, Madeline.
I see all my diehard fans are in attendance. I hope they haven't been causing too much of a ruckus, clamoring for me to begin.
Yeah, you know this bunch. The only thing they've been clamoring for is refills.
Yeah.
Hey, don't take it too personal. Clubs here in the theater district live and die by the shows that are playing. And they're a bunch of stinkers right now.
It's okay. I know the score. I'm not exactly Rosemary Clooney. You've got a good heart, Abner. Even if it is tough to hear beating over that sailor mouth of yours sometimes.
Hey, it's a tough job. Somebody's got to talk to these people in a language they'll understand.
I get you, Abner. Have you seen Victor?
Yeah. He's here. Table at the far end. Wait. He's not alone.
Oh, he brought a friend?
You might say that.
I don't understand.
He's with another girl.
Oh.
They've been all over each other since they got here. I'm sorry, Madeline. Look, the guy's a lousy bum. You're better off without him.
I'll talk to him. I can't do that in a restaurant. Get your hands off me. We're a scandal. Hello, Victor.
Why, Maddie! There you are! We were just talking about you.
Yeah, the sultry singer.
Now, Dolores.
Excuse me? I mean, would you look at that dress?
Now, Dolores, don't be like that.
Oh, don't be like that? Just get a load of that all-black getup. Sheesh. Where's the funeral?
Look, you, I don't know what your problem is, but...
Okay, okay. Put the claws away, ladies.
Victor, what is going on?
Why, nothing at all, Maddie. What makes you think there is? Well...
Victor, who is she?
Who's who?
Your friend.
Oh, you mean my cousin, Dolores.
Cousin?
My cousin, Dolores. She's in Detroit for a visit, so I'm showing her the sights.
Oh, yeah. Cousin Victor's a real swell guy. He's been showing me all the best places.
Nothing but the best from my cousin. Hey, Maddie, why don't you join us for a drink? Dolores and I are just talking over family affairs.
We have a very close family, after all.
I have to start my set.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it was all just a misunderstanding. She's Victor's cousin. She's just visiting.
Cousin?
Yes, his cousin.
And you believe that?
Of course I do. Victor wouldn't lie to me.
Will you listen to yourself? He's lying through his teeth, and you're just gonna let him go ahead and do it without even letting out a peep?
Abner, please.
Abner, please, nothing. Wake up and smell the coffee, Madeline. He's a two-bit hood who's probably been alley-catting on you all along. Only now he's not even doing it on the sly. I don't get it, Madeline. A woman like you, you could have any fella you want.
Any fella, except a true one. Sorry. The dramatics must be a byproduct of my proper southern upbringing.
Why, Madeline? Why do you let Basil treat you like dirt?
Because he said he loved me. And maybe because it's easier to live with a lie than it is to live with the truth.
Madeline,
I should start my set.
Morning sun, I'd sell my soul.
So, big boy, you want to show a girl a good time?
No can do.
What about you, handsome?
Gotta watch the bar.
Oh, gee whiz, what's a girl gotta do to make an honest buck around here?
What would I know about making an honest buck? I'm a jazz singer.
You seem to have gotten yourself out of the dumps, but good, Miss Charles.
Why, Abner, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
Of course you don't. What I mean is, you're in much better spirits now than you were just 24 hours ago.
Oh, you know what changeable creatures we women are.
Believe me, I know. I was married for 10 years. Changeable is one thing, but you sure look like a woman who went from the depths of depression to the peaks of ecstasy overnight. So what gives?
I don't know. Perhaps it's the change in the weather.
Weather my eye. Come on, out with it. I mean, if you can't tell your favorite barkeep, who can you tell?
I suppose you're right.
Does it have to do with Basso?
Maybe.
Did you finally tell him to take a hike?
Not exactly.
If not that, then what gives?
Well, I'm not supposed to tell anyone.
Madeline?
Okay, I'll tell you. But someplace a little more quiet.
Okay, I'll go up there. Frankie, you're in charge.
Frankie in charge?
If I left no one in charge, they'd both help themselves. This way, only one of them booze hounds is behind the bar pilfering.
Makes sense. I guess that's why you're the boss and I'm the hired help, right?
Right. So what's going on?
Victor said I wasn't to tell a soul about this, but... Oh, I just have to tell someone before I explode. You're the best friend I have in the world, Abner, and I know I can trust you with anything.
Damn right you can. So what's the big secret?
Victor asked me to marry him.
He what?
He asked me to marry him. In fact, we're eloping tonight.
Madeline, doesn't this seem kind of sudden? I mean, he was two-timing you with some young floozy just the other night, and now he wants to get hitched?
I know. It all sounds very spur of the moment. But Victor and I have been seeing each other for almost a year now, so it shouldn't come as that big a surprise, should it?
So what caused Basso's change of heart?
I don't know. Last night I decided to go over to Victor's place. I needed to talk with him. Well, when I got there, Victor was with some men and he was doing business.
Business? You mean Basso's kind of business?
I'm not really sure. I overheard them discussing a freighter coming into River Rouge tomorrow night. Sounded very important.
Why? What did they say about it?
Not much. They stopped talking about it as soon as they realized I was there.
They did? What happened next?
Abner, I don't understand what this has to do with Victor and I.
Humor me, will you? What happened next?
Well, at first, they were really sore at me. Victor, most of all. I'd never seen him like that before. Then he calmed down. He took me aside and apologized, and that's when he asked me to elope.
Madeline, listen to me. I think you overheard something you shouldn't have overheard last night.
What? I barely know a thing about that shipment, and even if I did, I'd never tell a soul.
What you actually know doesn't matter. Only what they think you might know. If you go with Basso tonight, you might not be coming back. Madeline, all signs point towards it. You overheard something Basso doesn't want to get out. And you overheard it in front of a bunch of other mobsters. So he can't just pretend it didn't happen. He's already got himself a new squeeze, and he's probably thinking about putting you out to pasture anyway. So he figures, why not kill two birds with one stone? And he cooks up this phony elopement.
Abner.
Only an elopement isn't what he's got planned for you.
Abner.
He'll kill you, Madeline. Don't you get it? If you go with Basso, he'll kill you.
You're a good friend, Abner. And I know you're just trying to look out for me, but I won't believe this. I can't believe it. And even if I did overhear something important last night, Victor's not like that. You just don't know him like I do.
You're right. I don't know him like you do. I know him for what he is. You know him for what you want him to be.
I'm sorry you feel that way, but you'll see. When I come back in a few days with a ring on my finger, Abel, you'll see.
Any word? Ow!
You big dumb mook. Don't you know Abner's all broken up about Madeline leaving last week? For all he knows, she could be dead in a ditch somewhere, with crows pecking at her eyes. And here you are, bringing her name up. Insensitive jerk.
But I didn't even...
Insensitive jerk!
Ow!
Ugh.
Nothing?
No.
Yeah.
Madeline? Madeline, is that really you under that veil?
It's me, Abner.
It's so good to have you back.
It's good to be back. I've missed this place. I've missed you, Abner.
I missed you too. I mean, we all did.
Even my diehard fans.
Even your diehard fans. So what happened?
You're right, Abner. About Victor, I mean. He was no good. He always was. I just didn't want to see it. Victor picked me up that night, only he wasn't taking me to Chicago like he said. He was taking me for a ride over to the West Side. But things didn't go quite the way he planned.
The West Side? What the hell was he thinking? Boss Fondurus wouldn't sit still for Basso being on his turf, much less whacking someone there. Sorry. Given the veil, I'm guessing his luck ran out.
It did.
Listen, do you feel up to coming back to work?
I was hoping you'd ask that. You haven't hired someone else already?
Someone else? You must be kidding. What other singer do you know that could keep these jokers in line?
And on time.
You got that right.
When can I start?
Whenever you feel up to it. But don't wait too long. I don't think I could stand another jazz arrangement of Mary Had a Little Lamb.
No time like the present, then.
Painted gold.
Thank you so much. We're going to take five and come back with our second set.
Come on, Abner, what gives?
Yeah, come on, Abner, what gives?
I don't know what you two rummies are talking about.
Oh, don't give me that. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, don't give me that. You know what I'm talking about.
That veil. That mourning veil. She's been wearing it for at least a week now.
Yeah, at least a week now.
And it's really spooky.
Yeah, and it's really spooky.
Ow! What was that for?
You insensitive jerk! Someone dear to Madeline passed away, and you're here calling her spooky.
I'm not calling her spooky. I said the veil's spooky. I mean, we don't even know who it's for.
Well, huh. Yeah, that's true. Who's it for?
Not sure. But I figured it was for Basso, that creep mobster boyfriend of hers.
Well, I think Abner's right. It's for that creep mobster boyfriend of hers.
I don't.
You sound pretty sure of that, Frankie.
Yeah. Yeah, how can you be so sure?
Because he just walked into the club.
Okay, so Madeline's not wearing it for the creep. Then who?
Excuse me. Madeline, Basso just walked in.
I know. I've been waiting for him to come back.
But I thought he was dead.
No. Not yet.
Then what?
Abner, it's better that you don't know anymore. Will you do me one last favor?
Anything. You know that.
Please leave the club, just for a few minutes.
What? No way I'm leaving you alone with that bastard.
You have to. I don't want you to see what's going to happen. Please, Abner. Hello, Victor.
No.
What's she doing here? You said she left town.
It can't be.
It's me, Victor.
What in the world's going on?
No. No. You can't be real.
Oh, I'm real, Victor.
No.
You told me you loved me.
No.
And you promised to marry me.
No.
You killed me.
No!
And now, it's time for you to see what's behind my veil.
So ends Madeline's Veil by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions. Tonight's radio drama was adapted for radio by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes from their original story. Dana Perry Hayes was Madeline Charles. Rocky Cerda was Abner. Damon Krall was Victor Basso. Elizabeth Grayson was Dolores. Adrian Wilkinson was Tallulah. And Steve Moulton was Frankie. I'm Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
Do you like Friends? Well, we like you, so become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends at UBC and the West Side, like Australian Boot Company, Dentry's Pub, The Bike Kitchen, Limelight Video, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
new festival of exploratory music and sound, Tidal Signal, aims to highlight women, transgender, genderqueer, and intergender artists working in left-field genres. The inaugural Tidal Signal will feature an array of musics encompassing noise, ambient, electronic, drone, experimental techno, improvised, sound, and performance art.
The lineup features Kieran Boomberg,
Laura Loy, Sarah Gold, plus Emily Thacker, Weiser, Sasha Mannequin, Brady Marks, Messi plus Marina, Mass Marriage, Opponent Processes, Orkana, and Prophecy Sun.
Evenings at Selectors Records in downtown Vancouver, July 30th and 31st.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, Browns.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow, the clouds lift, and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making
it. You know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you, man, you're going to have a hell of a time saying what it is.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense. Of all the myriad life forms on Earth, none have held such a place of reverence in human culture as trees. In Norse mythology, it was the world tree Yggdrasil that supported all of creation. A tree of life figured prominently in religions from Assyria to China, Egypt to India, even in Christianity and Judaism. Talking trees were a frequent source of wise counsel, such as the Greek oak of Dodona, and the Hindu tree of the sun and the moon. But not all tree spirits were friendly. Tales of trees inhabited by demons or jinn are part of many religions. Even today, there are entire forests reputed to be haunted and which are assiduously avoided. These beliefs touch on something very primal. If you've ever been lost in the woods as sunset approaches, the fear that grips you is akin to what our prehistoric ancestors would have felt. For at the core of each myth is some kernel of truth.
Will you hurry up, Loretta? Come on! The train leaves in 5 minutes! Do you have the tickets?
Tickets? Of course I have the tickets. Let's grab the bags and shake a leg.
Last call for the 620 Keystone Express to New York City with stops in Trenton, Princeton Junction, and Newark.
Let's go! We missed this one and we'll have to wait till 10 o'clock.
All aboard.
Hurry! All right, let's find an empty cabin. Made it.
Yeah, sure. We're home free now.
Will you put a sock in it, Vi? Anyway, it's your fault we're in this fix.
My fault? You were the one who was supposed to keep the guard distracted.
How was I supposed to know he'd be more interested in grabbing a sandwich than chatting me up?
Well, who could blame him? Just look at you. Your seams aren't even straight.
Oh, and you're the height of fashion with that gaudy bag of yours? What's in that thing anyway?
My mother always told me to carry a jar of cold cream in my purse, just in case some fella ever got fresh.
Well, that guard's not going to be getting fresh with anybody from now on.
Do you really think we killed him?
We? We didn't kill anybody. You were the one who hit him with your purse.
So, it would have been better to just let him call the cops on us? Can you see the headlines? Bank heist thwarted. Gal tellers arrested for pulling inside job. Oh, that'd be just swell.
Look, Vi, what's done is done. Now we gotta hightail it to Canada before they find the body and start putting two and two together.
Yeah, but, Loretta, we're probably making too much out of it. I mean, no one saw us there except the guard, right? And he ain't talking. Maybe we got nothing to worry about.
Do you want to stick around and find out?
No.
All right, then. Look. We won't get to New York till almost 10, and then it's another 12 hours to Montreal, so we should try to get some rest, okay?
Okay.
We should sit side by side with our bags close to us, especially this one. We've gotten ourselves into a real pickle for this 100 grand, and I'm not about to lose it now.
Right, Loretta.
Now leaving Sarasota Springs. Next stop, Ticonderoga, New York.
Did you get a gander at the old bird who just got on? Dog under one arm, suitcase under the other, and books everywhere else.
Yeah, what a character. Good thing this train's deserted, or else we'd have to worry about her setting up shop here.
Don't jinx us. Oh, too late.
Oh, good heavens. Please excuse the clutter, but I left my hotel in such a hurry. You, be a dear and fetch my satchel, would you?
Sure.
And help me with these books.
Of course.
And give me the package of treaties in the outside pocket.
What? Just do it.
This is Bobby. Say hello to the nice girls, Bobby. Now, let's get ourselves properly introduced. Bobby, may I present... Why? I've forgotten your names.
We haven't introduced ourselves yet.
Well, is it any wonder I've forgotten?
She's Lois. I'm Lois Smith, and this is my cousin Mary. Mary Smith.
Charmed. I am Dorothy McIntyre, but you may call me Dottie. Everyone else does.
I'll bet they do.
Jeez it.
Pleased to meet you, Dottie.
Why, is there a little treaty for Bobby in your purse, dear?
Not unless he likes cold cream. Jeez it, Vi. So, what brings you out on a train at this hour of night? You certainly do have a lot of books.
Why, adventure, of course. Wayne and I. Wayne is my late husband. Used to love to travel around the globe. He was a professor of anthropology, and I'm carrying on his studies. Currently, I'm doing research into the folklore of pre-American Indian culture in this region.
Pre-American Indian?
Why, yes, dear. The Northeast is rife with legends that predate the Mohawk, Delaware, Cayuga, or any other tribe. Legends of eldritch creatures that prehistoric man both worshipped and feared. In fact, the very region we're entering now is said to be the lair of one of the most powerful of these entities, the Black Goat.
A goat? They were afraid of a goat?
Shh. You were saying about the Black Goat?
Oh, it wasn't really a goat. That was just a name given to describe the indescribable. The Black Goat with 1,000 young. The entity was also known as Shub-Niggurath, a fertility goddess extensively worshipped in prehistoric times. But it wasn't the Black Goat that man feared. It was her young.
Her young? What about them?
They were described as some nightmarish caricature of trees, with pitch-black tentacles and gaping maws and stumpy hooved legs. Seemingly unbound by any laws of nature, the dark young were said to have the stench of an open grave, and woe be to any poor unfortunate who fell into their slimy clutches.
Oh, I think I'm gonna be sick.
Goodness, child, you're shaking like a leaf.
Oh, I'm fine. It's just...
She's just been a bit ill, is all. Perhaps we should go grab a bite to eat in the dining car.
Yeah, I probably just need to eat, that's all.
Can we get you anything, Dottie?
Oh, no, no, no. Go on, girl. Bobby and I have brought our own treaties. Haven't we, Bobby? Haven't we, baby?
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes, Dottie.
Can you believe that crazy old bat? Honestly, Loretta, I'm about to jump out of my own skin.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
Keep your voice down, Vi. Oh, come on, let's grab a sandwich and a pop. You ready to march back into the lion's den? Look, with any luck, she's fallen asleep by now.
With the luck we've been having, she'll be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, all ready to tell us more about goats that aren't goats and slimy monster trees.
Yippee.
How close to schedule are we? Just got a message from Glen Falls. The police there are going to be searching the train. They're looking for two girls they think are aboard. Right.
Oh my God, did you hear that?
They know we're aboard. What are we gonna do? Well?
We have to get off the train now.
What? But it's not stopping until Glen Falls, and the police will be there waiting for us.
We could pull the emergency stop cord, but now the cops would know right where to start their search. No, that won't work. Vi, we're gonna have to jump off the train while it's still moving.
Are you off your rocker? Jump off the train like a couple of hobos?
Look, we have two choices. We either stay on here, in which case we're in jail by sunrise, or we jump the train and we take our chances.
Now I really am gonna be sick.
And we're not just looking at jail time. We could get the chair.
But what about our bags? We should at least get those.
We don't have time to waste. Besides, we've got the loot with us. That's all that matters. Come on!
Loretta! The train's going so fast! We'll get killed if we jump off!
We're coming to a hill! The train will slow down going up. When we get to the top, jump!
But...
when you hit the ground, roll it!
of it. You know, like Gene Autry does when he jumps off his horse. Okay. We're going uphill now. On the count of three. One. Are you okay?
I think so.
Ow! What is it?
My ankle. I think I twisted it.
Can you walk?
Oh, yeah. Just hurts is all.
Here, put your arm around me.
So, what do we do? Follow the tracks back to Saratoga Springs?
No. Along the tracks is the first place they'll search for us. And anyway, if the Glen Falls police are on the lookout, so are the ones in Saratoga Springs.
Then what do we do?
We head east till we hit a road. Then we hitch from there.
Loretta, we don't even know where the nearest road is. We're in the middle of nowhere. In the middle of the night. And in heels to boot.
Bet you don't care if my seams are straight now. Look, we're gonna get out of this, but we have to be strong. Let's lose the heels. We'll make better time without them. And we should wrap that ankle with something. Is that better?
Yeah, it does help. Thanks, Loretta.
Sure thing.
I guess that old broad spooked us pretty good, huh?
We're acting like a couple of ninnies. Come on, we can do this. Yeah, let's get moving. With any luck, we'll be hitching our way north in a couple hours.
Yeah, but the way our luck's been going today...
Shh, don't jinx us. Besides, we really need to get moving. Looks like some nasty fog's rolling in.
Loretta, we're lost, aren't we?
We're not lost.
How can you say we're not lost? We can't even see the moon anymore. And I swear, we've gone past this big rock before.
Let's just take a rest and get our bearings.
We have no idea where we are.
Maybe we should wait for the fog to clear. We don't have time, Vi. The police could be on our tails right this very minute. What if they have bloodhounds? No, we have to keep moving. The fog is bound to clear up soon.
But what's the point if we're just going in circles, Loretta? And anyway, this place gives me the willies.
Ah, that crazy old bat still has you spooked. Okay, it gives me the willies too.
Have you noticed how quiet it is?
Yeah. Not a bird, not an owl. Even the crickets have stopped chirping.
And that smell. What is it?
I don't know, but it's sickening. Like decay. Death.
Hey, is it just me or is that stench getting worse? Loretta?
We should get moving.
It's so queer.
see how it writhes? It's like it's climbing right up that tree. Wait, did you see that?
See what?
The tree, it moved!
Sure it did, Vi. Next you'll be telling me that it has pitch black tentacles and a gaping maw.
But I could have sworn.
Look, look, we're both exhausted, so it's not surprising that—
Loretta, do you smell that? That stench is getting even stronger.
And we're not moving.
Which means it's
coming towards us.
That tree! It is moving! The old lady, that legend, it's true. Forget about that, Vi, just run! Oh, look! There's another one! Come on this way! Look out! Ah! 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 Help me! Help me!
Vi!
No! No! Vi? No! You won't get me!
Double back. Hide behind those rocks. Oh, God. Oh, God. Keep going, please. God, please. Let them keep going. No!
Oh, oh, God. You won't get me! You won't get me! Almost to the top. Don't let them follow. Please don't let them follow me. Oh, no. No. Oh, God, they're circling around. Dozens of them. No! You won't get me! You won't get me! No! Let go of me! Let go of me!
It's okay, miss. You're safe now.
They're coming! Let go of me!
What in the world? Who's coming, miss?
The trees! Let me go!
Call the hospital. This one's a candidate for the booby hatch.
You think this is one of the girls from the train?
No, those were just kids run away from home, but this...
Oh my God! They're here! No!
What in the world?
Thank you.
So ends Forest of the Dark Unbound by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Catherine Kamei was Vi. Elizabeth Grayson was Loretta. Dana Perry Hayes was Dottie McIntyre. Damon Crawl was the station agent. Rocky Serta was the conductor. Eric Kelly was Highway Patrolman Number 1. And Johnny Francis Wolfe was Highway Patrolman Number 2. I'm your host, Damon Crawl. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in suspense.
That ship out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try, anyway. Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime. Across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man. Good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
With summer encroaching, I, the sun, attain the height of my powers. Now I will pass solar judgment on this pitiful city. Forests, burn! Ocean, burn! Yoga vest, burn! What's this? Discorder magazine. Ooh, ah.
Discorder's July, August, Summer issue featuring articles on Leisha Sets, Tempest, Eileen Bryant, Gal Grayson, and an art feature by Puppy Teeth, plus much more. Find Discorder around Vancouver at cafes, venues, record stores, and online at discorder.ca. Special thanks to this month's advertisers, the Astoria Audio Pile, Davie Street Party, Don't Argue Pizzeria, Hastings Crossings, BIA, Castellano Block Party, Live Van, Pressing Matters, Redgate, Reggae Fest, the Rickshaw Theater, the Rio Theater, Rifflandia, Shindig, Victory Square, Vinyl Records, and Zipcar. It's not getting any zippier than that.
This alone shall be saved. As will the rest.
And you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. My name is Brian McDonald, and we're out of time for Skaldsall tonight. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John, and after that, we'll have The Medicine Show. And so from all of us here at CITR 101.9 FM, please enjoy your weekend.